Welcome to episode 174. I'm your host, Gail M. Davis, and this is Design Perspectives. Welcome to Design Perspectives, a podcast that not only talks about interior design, I discuss lifestyle, history, current events, and more. I am your host, Gail Davis, interior designer, entrepreneur, fur mom of three and counting, and wife to a Renaissance man. Come along for a fun ride of learning and laughing. Okay, let me set the scene for you. So I am sitting at my computer on podcast day, and podcast day for me is setting aside time strictly for podcasts to read the emails who PR people are pitching, designers are pitching themselves, and I have to go through and check out their work and make sure it's not renderings and all the other good stuff. Or the bad stuff, I should say. And there are people in my head that I want to interview. And I'm always figuring out, like, how do I get over there? And I do. I get through to a lot of people because I'm relentless that way. And those that know me, I'm a Taurus. It's just what I'm going to do. But this individual, I had in my mind that I wanted to interview him. And I was like, I got to just reach out to him. Like, I'm always in people's DMs. And this individual is no different. I DM them like they're family and have conversations, you know, have questions, congratulations, you know, condolences, whatever it may be. And this individual responds. And they say, don't meet your heroes, you know, never meet your heroes because, you know, you can be disappointed. So I am grateful when I meet people, especially in this industry, who are who they are. When you see them on IG, like they are really kind. It's only been a couple of times that I met people where I was like, yo, that was okay, unfollow. But this individual, he's the bee's knees. So I get the email and it asks, would I like to interview him? I nearly fell off my chair. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jay Jeffers. Are you kidding me? Of course I want to interview him because I want to talk about the Madrona. I want to know. How do you go from doing interior design and this is great and all, and it's like, I'm going to be a designer and I'm going to own a hotel. Yeah, I'm just going to go buy a hotel during COVID and just, you know, let me just open up a hotel, right? While everybody else is like, oh my God, what am I going to do about business? This one goes and gets a hotel. And it's also interesting because he's in business with his brother. And on top of this, he opens up an office in New York. So he's West Coast, East Coast. And a hotelier. So that's a lot going on, but we're just going to have a conversation. Please listen to the fabulous, the incomparable, the fun-loving Jay Jeffers. Enjoy the interview, people, just like I did. Oh my God, you have made my day. When I received the email from your team, if I wanted to interview you, I fell off my chair.
Well, I hope you didn't hurt yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Mr. Jay Jeffers. This is such an honor.
Thank you. That's a warm welcome, and I'll take it.
Okay, so let's get started. I want to talk a little bit how you got started in design, but then I want to talk about the Madrona. So, how did you get started in design?
I, like most design people, I loved it, for my entire life. I used to rearrange my bedroom furniture and the living room furniture with my mother when I was growing up, but I really didn't know interior design as a career. You know, where I grew up, my mother decorated our house, and all of our moms kind of were the decorators of the house. So I have a business degree. And I wanted to do something creative, and I discovered marketing and advertising, and I thought, okay, that's going to be my career path, or at least through school. And I grew up in Texas, and then I moved to San Francisco soon after I graduated because advertising was super hot then, and ended up working at the Gap in their corporate headquarters in their advertising department when everything was in-house. And I realized soon into it that A, I'm not a corporate person, even though it was a great company to work for. B, you know, within the advertising world, there are very few jobs that are actually creative, and my job wasn't. And I took a class at night. I was like, I need to find what my career path is. I need to love my job. And I went through a course schedule catalog through a Berkeley Extension program in San Francisco. And there happened to be an introduction to interior design starting the next week. And there was space in the class, and I took it. And it was the first time I realized, like, okay, I think I actually might be good at this, and I think I can make a living doing this. And I'm going to go back to school, and had a friend that was an interior designer that was a one-man show. And so I asked him if I could just start hanging out in his office. I had a very cool boss at the Gap that let me cut down my hours that I was working there, and I trained the new person that would take over for me for like a year. I went back to school. I started working for Richard Witzel was my mentor's name. Like on weekends and that kind of thing, and then ended up working for him for about 5 years and went back to school. I didn't get another degree, but I took sort of like the basic classes, drafting and color theory and all those kinds of things, but really learned interior design on the job, and then started my own business in 1999. So this year will be 25 years.
And when you started, were you a one-man show, or did you, or were you like, I need people?
I was a one-man show with my I got written up. The San Francisco Chronicle had a really great home section back in those days. And while I was still working for Richard, I was written up. There was like a fall issue of like young designers to watch, and there were like seven of us, and I got written up. And that's back when, people read the paper, and then people picked up the phone and called me, and I got like three jobs off of that. And I was thinking about going on my own, but I wasn't thinking about going off that soon, but the opportunity was there, and the projects came along, and I just decided it was time, and so decided to go off on my own.
And it's been a ride, I'm sure, since.
I mean, probably for the first year, it was just me. It was me. My office was in my guest room, and then I hired an assistant who was amazing, and she worked at my kitchen table or on the floor of the guest room. And then got a little office, and then slowly built. I've got 13 people now, and slowly built things up to where we are today. It's kind of like I never went like this. I kind of was gone like, a
Gradual.
steady climb.
Yeah, like how planes take off, they don't shoot right up. They like gradually get to where their altitude that they need. Okay, so you have the firm in California. I'm always curious, why New York?
New York is, I mean, really, it's selfish reasons because I love New York and I've never lived here. My plan for San Francisco was to go to San Francisco for 2 years and then go to New York and then maybe go to LA and then kind of decide, okay, where do I like the most? And in San Francisco, I got a job, I fell in love, like all the things that keep you there. And then when I started my own business, so I would come to New York 5, 6 times a year. Any excuse to come to New York, I would come to New York. And I've always wanted to live here. And last year, I just decided this is the year. And started looking for an apartment, thinking that I'm renting up maybe the apartment that I'm in, which is my office as well, and started renting. I started looking, thinking it was going to take me 6 months to find it. And it was the second apartment I looked at. And so I was like, oh, and then, I got the apartment. And then I was like, oh, so this is real. This is actually happening. And at the same time, Jamie Drake is a good friend of mine, and he's on the board of the Kips Bay Decorator Show House here. And it was coming back for the first time since the pandemic. And I told him I'd gotten an apartment here, and he was like, "So you're doing the show house then, right?" And I was like, "Oh, absolutely!" So I did the show house, opened the office, and it's been great. I just love New York. I love the energy. I love the vibe. It's amazing what you see every single day. It was a beautiful day last week, and I live on 12th, and I had a meeting on like 31st, and I walked all the way to my meeting, and I'm just taking pictures along the way of fantastic things, and then walked home from my meeting and still taking pictures of fantastic things and seeing, new artists and gallery openings and furniture and just like everything. It's just so inspiring to me.
Thank you. Do you hear that, everyone? New York is wonderful. I always get my friends saying, oh my God, it's just so loud. It's so busy. I was like, that's what makes it alive. There is just
so much
going on at one time. It's just, you just feel the excitement all the time.
Yeah.
At least I do.
And everybody's on the move. And the funniest thing that, I don't know if it's the funniest thing, but one of the greatest things I've discovered about New York, which I kind of knew this from other friends that have lived here, is that it really is a friendly city. People are really, like, you meet people, you see people on the streets, you know, and everybody is kind of in the same mode of, like, getting shit done, you know? And with that, I feel like that everybody wants to help everybody. So you meet somebody, you know, I've met so many people and I've said, oh, I've just moved here. They're like, oh, you should meet so-and-so. He lives down the street from you. Oh, come to this party with me. Oh, do you know this person and that person? And the introductions happen. And then they actually follow through and, like, meet with you and you become friends. I mean, I've got my list that started out as like 7 people is like 75 people that I need to get in touch with or stay in touch with or say hello to or that sort of thing since I moved here a year ago.
No, it's funny. I always tell people that I was like, New Yorkers are just like, we're just straight about it. Like it's black and white.
Absolutely.
You know, we say what we mean. I was like, we're not being aggressive. We're just being honest. I said, and for me, my pet peeve is when you say, let's get together. I'm like, okay, tell me when. And then it's really just you saying that, not meaning it, that like grates my nerves.
Yeah.
I'm like, just do it. What's wrong? Let's meet up for tea.
It's true.
Coffee. It's not a big deal. And we can move on. You know, yeah. I'm such a New Yorker.
The true New Yorker, the thing that annoys a true New Yorker the most. And I don't know that I'm a true New Yorker yet, but is like beating around the bush, not getting to the point, taking too long to make your point. People are just like, you know, give me an answer. Let's go. And some people look at that as rudeness and it's not, it's just like, give me your answer. Let me respond back or let me nod. Let's move on with this. And, you know, let's go to the bar and have a drink or get a coffee or whatever.
Life is short, you know, and you just like, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. Okay. So you're here. Mm-hmm. How many people do you have in this office here with you? And like, how do you split your business or because you're on both ends now?
Yeah. Well, San Francisco is the busiest. San Francisco, the office there is super busy and we've got a lot of projects in the Bay Area. But I've worked everywhere, even from the San Francisco office. I've done projects here in Miami and Texas and Montana and that sort of thing. So I'm really, my plan is to run the majority of things still through the San Francisco office. And I happen to have somebody in Boston who worked for me in San Francisco and then moved to Boston that does pricing and expediting and all that kind of stuff. So I've got somebody that's already on the East Coast. And then I've got an assistant here and that's really it. And, you know, as the West Coast, the East Coast, sorry, gets busier, I'll add a couple of people probably, but I like the size of my firm in San Francisco. I don't want the same size firm here. I'd like to keep it small. And I think I'll be able to do that, you know, with the what the pandemic taught us is that we can really work from anywhere and we can get a lot done via Zoom and everything else. And, you know, get a lot done on those 6-hour flights back and forth, or I sleep and that's good too. So.
Yes. Resting is important. The nap ministry is important. The one often neglected element of the home, and this is a question of, all right, the one often neglected element of the home that packs the biggest design punch. What is that? What do you think that is? Because people just design and they don't really think about it, but what is the thing that can make it amazing?
The ceiling.
Ooh.
I think the ceiling is often neglected or people just leave it painted white because they're afraid if they put a color on it or something on it, it's going to make the room feel smaller. And I like intimacy in spaces. So like in this apartment, I painted the ceiling this ochre yellow color, but also like, you know, wallpaper on ceilings is fantastic. You know, like painting just the walls and then putting a wallpaper on the ceiling that has some pattern and color to it and interest. I started doing it years ago in dining rooms because I always think about like, okay, if you are sitting at a dinner party, like You want to be able to look up and go, oh, wow, that's amazing. But then over the years, we do it, you know, in living rooms, in hallways. Like, it's really, I think that's the one thing that people don't think about or are nervous or scared or reluctant to do something with it because they're afraid it's gonna, you know, make the space feel smaller and that sort of thing. And I just don't adhere to that.
Okay. And I see you have a guide to color and why you should never be afraid to go bold. Because people are, they're like, can I just have gray? And I'm like, oh my God, please don't do that to my room.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's, I think the use of color and pattern, it's all about editing and it's all about, and it's also the clients. Like, you know, I always say I am the steward of design for my clients, you know, and when the project's over, I'm not living there. So, you know, the clients have to be comfortable with what they're doing. And and part of my job is to push and engage and, you know, and that's why they've hired me. But at the end of the day, it really is about them. And so, you know, I might suggest a bold color on a wall or a ceiling and that sort of thing. And I know it's going to be beautiful. And that's, but sometimes clients go for it and sometimes they don't. And that's, you know, their prerogative. I think that is the one thing that as you're doing a project, that's probably the biggest call that I get from the most often, the call that I get most often from a client is when you start painting, especially when you start painting walls that are white and you start painting a dark color or a bold color and you get that call like, oh my gosh, I don't know about this. I'm nervous about it. And it's a really hard thing to do because especially when you're painting on white walls, it's such a change and you have to go through painting the entire thing, whether it's a ceiling or a room or walls or trim, you really have to paint it all before you're going to see what it really is going to be like, you know? And truthfully, I think it's not going to feel as dark as when you like have, you know, half of a wall painted white and painted a dark color. So
No, I love that. I love that. Let's
it's a
jump to the
leap of it's a leap
Madrona.
of faith, I call it.
I
Go
love
ahead.
it. I love it. I have been watching you since you purchased the Madrona, and I've just been like invested. What was that like? And why were you like, yeah, now's the time. Let's do this.
I really say that it found me. I didn't find it. It 'cause it was, I mean, through happenstance and the pandemic and everything else, I saw the Madrona Memorial Day weekend of 2020. And the reason I saw it is because a friend of mine is a real estate agent and he was part of the listing agents that were putting it on the market. You know, and we were texting back and forth. I had a home in the Napa Valley, and this is in Sonoma, so this is about 45 minutes away. But we were texting back and forth, and he was like, "What are you guys doing for Memorial Day weekend? You should come see this property that I'm about to put on the market. I love seeing properties." So we were like, "Okay, let's go see it." Never didn't know it existed, had never heard of it. And when you pull into the Madrona, you drive through these gates that were created in the 1920s, and it's a little fanciful. It almost feels like you're coming into Disneyland or something. And they're sort of like they're out of context for the Napa Valley or the Sonoma Valley wine country. But then you drive up a hill that's wooded and green, and the mansion presents itself to you on the left side. And then you look to the right, and the Dry Creek Valley, which is one of the most beautiful valleys in Sonoma, is to the mansion's to the left, and that's to the right. So I was like, what is this crazy magical place? It was closed, it hadn't reopened from the shutdown of the pandemic. So there was nobody staying there. So the owner's daughter was there, and my agent was there, and myself. And we literally spent like 2.5 hours drinking rosé and opening every single door and looking at every single room. It's on 8 acres and it's seven different buildings, including the mansion and the carriage house that was built in 1881 and other things. There's an old schoolhouse from the 1800s that was brought to the property in the 1970s that's now two suites. You know, it's just a magical, magical place. And I left there with no intention of purchasing it. You know, I left there thinking, I'm going to come up with an amazing design. And then I'm going to get an introduction from my friend with whoever buys the hotel. And I'm going to say, here's the design for the hotel. You need to hire me to do this. And just through happenstance and through some other consultants that knew the property and knew the hospitality industry, it became a reality to actually make a purchase. And my brother's in the real estate finance world, on the financial side, and he does a lot of his company that he works with does a lot of financing of hotels and things like that. So he knew like the right people, the right due diligence to go through in purchasing a hotel. And it was the price was right in terms of sort of making it happen. So we closed on it in February of 2021. And I had pretty much designed the majority of it already. And so we had a direction of where we were going, hired a contractor, hired a production person, like, and started swinging hammers and opened back up in April of 2022. So it was a very fast, intense, crazy remodel.
Oh. And what have the lessons that you what have been the lessons that you learned? Because it's very different with working with clients and like what they want, but you're also the owner and the client.
Yeah. My biggest lesson is raise lots of money. Because, you know it's always going to cost more than you think, but I don't know. It was one of the design highlights of my life, I have to say, because like you said, there was no client. I'm the client. We figured out a budget, and it was, and I literally, I went to people in the industry that I have hired for my private clients over years, like Willem Riquet, who's an incredible decorative painter, and Javier Robles, who's Lumifer Lighting and things like that, and they all came out of the woodworks and did wonderful things for me, and did it at a hospitality pricing, or we did some magical trade for hotel stays and things like that too. But it was just such a joy, and it has amazing bones to work with for to start. And it's one of those things where I have banks of ideas stored in my head that I was able to use for different rooms and different places and things like that. And it was just fantastic.
Oh my goodness. And I know my friend Toby Farrelly was there. I think DLN pulled through like last
Yes.
four.
Yeah, she's a part of my forum group. There's about 12 of us, and so we had our first retreat there that was really fun.
Yeah, she was like, she did say it was very beautiful. And I was like, I'm getting there. I'm gonna get there this year. She's like, you gotta get there, girl.
Yeah,
So how
done.
many people, how big is your staff there for the Madrona?
Oh, I think that there are about 60, 70 people, both part-time and full-time. We have a the management staff is probably 10 people, like the general manager and hotel manager, and there's a restaurant as well, and an amazing chef and that sort of thing. And then we have an operator too. So luckily I don't need to be involved in the day-to-day. Our team that's on the ground there is really phenomenal. I'm blown away every, we constantly are getting the most positive reviews and great. We've won great awards for the design of the hotel, but also great awards for hospitality and that sort of thing as well. So, I feel very blessed that I have a great team on the ground at the hotel there.
Wow. Would you do it again? Are you looking for another hotel?
I am not looking for another hotel. I think, if I could quit my day job and live there for a year or two and that be my full-time job, I think I would do it again. I really like I would love for my hands to be even more into the day-to-day operations and stuff. The team's great, like I said, but I would do it again. If somebody wanted me to do it again and had all the money, I would do it again.
Oh,
It's
that money thing is pesky.
a tough business. I mean, it's a 24-room hotel too. And people told us from the beginning, like, a 24-room hotel is a tough business. It's not, four or five rooms where you're operating it yourself, and it's not 50 or 100 rooms where you've got the economies of scale. So it's a tough business, and but it is such a joy to be there. It's just a wonderful place. It's magic, absolute magic. The gardens are beautiful. We have the most incredible weddings there. It's lovely.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so this has been wonderful. But before we go, please tell the people where they can
Yes.
find you.
Well, my website is jjeffers.com. My Instagram is jjeffers, JAYJEFFERS. So through those two, you can find me. I think I have, I don't have a TikTok. I know I'm on Facebook. I might have a Twitter. I'm not really sure.
You're like me,
But
I can only keep up with two. I'm like, it's only two I can keep up with.
Insta and website, you can find me there, and or come to the Madrona and see me there. I'm often at the
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I really appreciate you.
Gail, it was so fun, and thank you. You're always a breath of fresh air and a lot of positivity. I love all your comments on my posts and things too, so this was fun.
That's the episode. Tune in next week where I have another special guest. Have a great weekend.